الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فصل في موقف أهل السنة والجماعة من أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. This is العقيدة الواسطية of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. And now we will begin dealing with the chapter on the position or the stance of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah in regards to the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, why did we say mawqifi? You notice I did it on purpose. Mawqifi ahli sunnati wal jama'ati ashabi rasulillahi. Why did it end with a kasra, 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 kasra all across? What's up with that? Why didn't we say faslun fi mawqifu ahlu sunnatu wal jama'atu min ashabu rasulullah? You could have said that, by the way. It's just that it doesn't sound right because your brain is trained. that shouldn't sound right. But why? Grammatically, why? Wrong! I wanted you to say that. Yes and no. Even if there was no harf jar, this is all mudaf. Mudaf ilayh. Fasl is mudaf. And everything mudaf ilayh. Even if there were no fi, you would have still said mawqifi ahli sunnati wal jama'ati min ashabi rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In both cases. Like in the kitab al-tawheed, faslun fadl aw kitabu fadli al-tawheed wa takfirihi lil-dhunub, or something along these lines. It's same thing. Marfu' the mubtada, then the rest is mudaf ilayh, so it gets the kasra. قوله ومن أصول أهل السنة والجماعة أي من أسس عقيدتهم. The statement of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, from the fundamentals or the principles of Ahl Sunnah, meaning that on upon which their aqidah is founded. Something upon which the aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'a is founded. The foundation of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'a. قوله سلامة قلوبهم وألسنتهم لأصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. سلامة. Or you live in حي السلامة. By the way, the names of the districts are entertaining. So I used to live in Aziziya, أعزك الله. Now I live in حي السلامة, سلمك الله. And then we go between الصفا and المروة, you know. And you go on all these things going on in this. Sometimes if you don't think about it, you take it as something usual. But there's a very odd thing behind the naming. And like Aziziya is all over the kingdom. You go to Riyadh, they have Aziziya. In Mecca, they have Aziziya. They hear, what's up with Aziziya, man? Anywho, so what? What is Salama? Peace?
Safety.
Free from. And all of these meanings are correct. Soundness. Good. Salamat qulubihim, meaning their hearts are sound, and that the sahaba are safe from their hearts and the tongues. The sahaba are safe from the hearts and the tongues of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, meaning neither do they have some hatred in their hearts, nor do they say anything with their tongues. So Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the sahaba are safe because of that position of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. وَلَمْ يَقُلْ وَأَفْعَالِهِمْ. Now he did not say, and their actions. He did not say the Sahaba are safe from the hearts, the tongues, and the actions of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. No, he said only the hearts and the tongues. Why? How come the actions? Does that mean that Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah will harm the Sahaba in action? So why did the Shaykh not mention it? It's not possible. You can harm someone with your heart by hating them, or you can harm them by cursing them. But if they died, can you harm them with your actions? The Shaykh will explain. لأن أفعال متعذرة بعد موت الصحابة. any action you do is cannot doable, is not feasible after their death. حتى لو فرض أن أحد نبش قبورهم أو قبورهم. Even if we were hypothetically speaking to say someone excavated their graves, someone digged out their graves, وأخرج جثثهم, and he pulled out their corpse and their bodies. فإن ذلك لا يؤذيهم ولا يضرهم. That will neither harm him nor affect him in any evil way. لكن الذي يمكن أن يكون بعد موت الصحابة نحوهم هو ما يكون في القلب وما ينطق به اللسان. So even if you harm someone, if you took him out of his grave and you did whatever you did, he's dead. خلاص. The harm ends by them, you know, leaving this world. That doesn't allow you though to become negligent concerning the deceased, because the Prophet ﷺ said that breaking the bones of the deceased dead is like breaking it alive. And it doesn't mean that the bodies are to be mistreated. We're just saying that you cannot harm them in that sense, even if someone was to do that. So the only way you can harm the Sahaba really now is with the heart or something which you say with the tongue. فمن أصول أهل السنة والجماعة سلامة قلوبهم وألسنتهم أو قلوبهم وألسنتهم لأصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. He repeated it. From the fundamental principles of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that the Sahaba are safe from the tongues and the hearts of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. سلامة القلب من البغض والغل والحقد والكراهة. That's a lot of vocabulary for you. The safety or the soundness of the heart from bughd, enmity. It's like a higher form of enmity. It's not just hating someone. It's like hating them with the passion. Real hate. Wal ghil is the rancor. Wal haqd, spite. Spite, when you're spiteful against someone. Wal karaha, aversion. A form of aversion against them. All of these kinds of actions of the hearts, the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah are free from. Now, وَسَلَامَةِ أَلْسِنَتِهِمْ مِنْ كُلِّ قَوْلٍ لَا يَلِقُ بِهِمْ. Also, the safety or the soundness of their tongues from anything which does not befit the status of the Sahaba. Nothing is said with the tongues. Unlike who? فَهُمْ يُحِبُّونَ أَصْحَابَ رَسُولِ أَصْحَابَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَيُفَضِّلُونَهُمْ عَلَى جَمِيعِ الْخَلْقِ. They love the companions of the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام, and they favor them over the whole creation. لِأَنَّ مَحَبَّتَهُمْ مِنْ مَحَبَّةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Loving them is part of love, the love you have for the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام. وَمَحَبَّةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مِنْ مَحَبَّةِ اللَّهِ. And loving the Messenger of Allah is falls under loving Allah. يعني you love him because Allah chose him at the end of the day. وَأَلْسِنَتِهِمْ أَيْضًا سَالِمَةٌ مِنَ السَّبِّ وَالشَّتْمِ وَاللَّعْنِ وَالتَّفْسِيقِ وَالتَّكْفِيرِ وَمَا أَشْبَهَ ذَلِكَ مِمَّا يَأْتِي بِهِ أَهْلُ الْبِدَعِ. And their tongues are safe from or sound from sab, you know, which is reviling someone. والشتم, cursing someone out. واللعن, not cursing him out, now cursing someone, as you know, asking Allah to curse that person now. تفسيق, claiming that they are disobedient. وتكفير, claiming they're kuffar. And all these, by the way, people do. And whatever along these lines which is known and prevalent among the people of bid'ah. فَإِذَا سَلِمْتَ مِنْ هَذَا ملأت أو ملئت من الثناء عليهم والترضي عنهم والترحم والاستغفار وغير ذلك. Now if you're safe from cursing and reviling them and, you know, defaming them and belittling them and what have you, then the natural consequence is that you will be full of praise of them and asking Allah to be pleased with them and asking Allah to have mercy on them and seeking forgiveness on their behalf and things along these lines. وذلك للأمور التالية. This is because of the following reasons. أولا, first, إنهم خير القرون في جميع الأمم. Huh? What does that mean? يا شيخ محمد. Best of قرون. قرون. أيوة.
Best generation.
Okay, beautiful. خير القرون في جميع الأمم. What does it mean? They are the best generation in all of the nations or among all the nations. That's important. Which means that if we were to bring the disciples of Jesus, Al-Hawariyin, and Ashab al-Rasul alayhi salatu salam, Ashab al-Rasul are more virtuous and better than the disciples of Jesus or Moses or Abraham or any other prophet. They are the best generation among all of the nations. Except who? Except the prophets themselves. Meaning, قولاً واحد, and the prophets, all of them, regardless of which nation they were sent to, they're better than the Sahaba. So it's like the messengers, Ulul Azm, then the regular messengers, then the prophets in general, then the Sahaba, then everybody else. Then everybody else. In this particular order. نعم. كما صرح بذلك رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حين قال خير الناس قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم. This is so because it was explicitly stated by the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام when he said the best of people is my generation, then those who follow them, then those who follow them. So these are the three generations which are known as what? السلفي خطأ. لا صحيح. No صحيح, but the تشكيل is wrong. السلف الصالح. السلف not السلفي. Unless it was preceded with حرف جر or مضاف إليه or something, so that otherwise the أصل any word you begin with ضمة. Because it's mubtada, it's going to be mubtada, unless there's a reason why you would change it. But if you're using the term in and of itself, you don't give it anything but the asl, which is a rafi'. So you say, as-salafu salih. As-salafu salih. Na'am. Thaniyan, secondly, the first thing that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam told us explicitly, the best people are my generation. And then those who come after, then those who come after. Khalas. There's another reason. Inna annahum humul wasita. بين رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وبين أمته فمنهم تلقت الأمة. هنا I think there's a there must be a typo here. What does it say in your book? Mine says عند الشريعة. عنه. Mine has a dal. So عين نون ها. Okay, that's why. See, something wasn't right. Why? They are the link between the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام and his Ummah. From them the Ummah received the Sharia of the Messenger of Allah. Otherwise we would have never had it. So that's why the ulama say, if you claim that the Sahaba, you know, apostated, then you don't have a deen anymore. Khalas. You know, these are the best people. If they're no good, then who's going to be good afterwards? So it's really yani, amazing these Shia, man. But anyways, they're really yani, they have an agenda. It's an agenda. ثالثا ما كان على أيديهم من الفتوحات الواسعة العظيمة. Through their hands Allah Azza wa Jal opened up lands and they conquests, many conquests that were vast and tremendous happened through the efforts of the Sahaba. رابعا, fourthly, أنهم نشروا الفضائل بين هذه الأمة من الصدق والنصح والأخلاق والآداب التي لا توجد عند غيرهم. They spread amongst this the people of this ummah al-fadail alaykum salam, the virtues like sidq,
truthfulness,
nusḥ. Come on, guys. You got to work on this vocabulary stuff, man. You can't give da'wah without vocabulary. You can't. You have to know what's going on. Nusḥ. Bab. Next. Nusḥ. Advice. Sincere advice. Yes. طيب, I didn't want to answer you. You're supposed to make an effort. I'll give it to you right away. والأخلاق. morals, particularly. I mean, a khuluq generally is a character, be it evil or bad, be it good or bad. But in some context, when it's used like that, it means the virtuous. Like when Allah said to the Prophet ﷺ, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Here it is in the sense of praiseworthy. Otherwise you say, هُوَ سَيِّئِ الْخُلُقِ. هُوَ سَيِّئُ الْخُلُقِ. He is bad, he has a bad character. And you're using سَيِّئ to describe his خُلُق. نعم. سُوء الْأَخْلَاق. نعم. إذن الأخلاق والأدب. Manners, etiquettes, things of this sort. التي لا توجد عند غيرهم, that which you cannot find with others, with no one else. ولا يعرف هذا من كان يقرأ عنهم من وراء جدور. The one who reads about them from behind walls will never be able to recognize that. بل لا يعرف هذا إلا من عاش في حياتهم. يعني no matter what now, even when you read about it, you can't really get to the essence of it, the real deal, still, because there's a gap, and you're reading words. It's not like living. It's not like living with, and you can read the, for example, the works of a sheikh, you know, for I don't know how many years, and then you sit with him. That's a whole nother experience. It's a whole nother experience. Even though you got to know him through what you've read about him, being with him will give you access to things which you would never get had you not been with him, that you won't find in his works, his character, his behavior, things of this sort. Then, but none would know this except one who mingled with them. وَعَرِفَ مَنَاقِبَهُمْ. He knew their virtues. وَفَضَائِلَهُمْ. Their status, this virtuous status. وَإِثَارَهُمْ. Ha ha. Excellent word here. إِثَار. La la la.
Sacrifice.
Ah, good. But there's a... صحيح. But there's a very nice English word for it. You will hardly come across it unless you take a course in advanced vocabulary. There's this book called The Word Power. I forgot the name of the author. Excellent book. You find in Jarir. Red book. I mean, this the vocabulary in that book is like from another planet. Words that you probably may come across or may never come across. But it's good to familiarize yourself with that. Anyways, what is the specific, precise and concise term for ithar in English? No, here ithar, يعني تؤثر, يعني مثلا, I wanted this bottle and أؤثرك. I favor you over myself. I sacrifice. That's the ithar, not from يثير الشيء يعني. It begins with the letter A. Then, okay, fine. Altruism. That's what it is. An altruist is someone who favors others over himself. That's the definition in English. Altruism is the concept of favoring people. That's ithar. That's exactly what ithar is. So it's A-L-T-R-U-I-S-M. Altruism. And the person who has that character is in... Walaikum salam. No, don't tell me food again. The person who does that is an altruist. He's an altruist. You probably heard philanthropist. Yeah. Words that actually go around. A philanthropist, someone who loves the humankind and human beings and blah, blah, blah. You know, many people claim to be philanthropists, but they're not. They're actually trying to make more money. Ala kulli hal. So keep that word in your vocabulary. Salaam. Salaam. طيب. نعم. إذن إثارهم, their altruism, واستجابتهم لله ولرسوله, their immediate response or answer to Allah and His Messenger, يعني carrying out what was commanded of them. فنحن نشهد الله عز وجل على محبة هؤلاء الصحابة. الله أكبر. We make Allah bear witness that we love these صحابة. Like that, just like that. وَنُثْنِي عَلَيْهِمْ بِأَلْسِنَتِنَا بِمَا يَسْتَحَكُونَ. And we praise them with our tongues according to what they deserve. وَنَبْرَأُ مِنْ طَرِيقَيْنْ ضَالَّيْنْ. And we declare our innocence from two deviant paths. طريق الروافض, the path of the Rafida, the Shia, الذين يسبون الصحابة, those who defile and verbally abuse the صحابة, ويغلون في آل البيت, and they exaggerate their praise of the family of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, and they're liars. They're liars because the family of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام on the top of the list is Aisha. ليذهب عنكم الرجس أهل البيت. And the context is speaking to the wives of the Messenger of Allah. And so where are the Shia from Aisha and honoring her and loving her? She's their biggest enemy, these wicked creatures. And so they claim that they love Ahlul Bayt is a big lie. It's a big lie. No one will believe them except someone who's totally blind. Allah didn't give any guidance, or someone who's totally stupid. He cannot understand anything. Otherwise, you can't have a religion that is based on cursing the companions of your Prophet, those who brought you the religion. The Buddhists don't even have something so, you know, strange. It's really strange. Anyways, their turn is coming, inshallah. Naam. وَمِن طَرِيقِ النَّوَاصِبِ الَّذِينَ يُبْغِضُونَ أَهْلِ الْبَيْتِ. And we declare innocence from the nawasib, those who hate the family of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. Now, of course, the Shia call us Ahl Sunnah nawasib, but that is not a befitting title because we're not. There are people who hate the family of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. We're not of them. But to them, if you don't hate Abu Bakr and Umar and Aisha and love Ali and Hassan and Hussein, then you become one who's from the nawasib. This is dhulm. This is dhulm. وَنَرَى أَنَّ لِآلِ الْبَيْتِ إذا كانوا صحابة ثلاثة حقوق. And we observe the following right, that the family of the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام, if they are among the Sahaba, why did he say that?
Because they were uncles who did not have
mu'mineen. Do we call them Sahaba?
No.
So what they mean, the mu'mineen, if they were from the family, they have three rights. حق الصحبة, the right of companionship, because of them being companions, they have a right of being a sahabi. وحق الإيمان, the right of their iman, because they're mu'min. That's what they mean. They're mu'min. They're not like the Abu Talib or others. وحق القرابة من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, and the right of the kinship tie, the kin to the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام, the blood tie, the family tie. وقوله لأصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, سبق أن أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كل من اجتمع به مؤمنا ومات على ذلك. Who can define? He said the companions. We have already explained that the companions of the Messenger of Allah, or the companion, is the one who what? How do we define a Sahabi? Not Abd al-Majid. No, wait, man. One person at a time. Come again, akhi.
Muslim, time of the Prophet, who has really seen and met the Prophet.
Seen with the eye.
And met him.
No, and met him, we agree. But seeing also, or?
There are some exceptions. Some companions did not see the Prophet at all.
طيب, then do we call them Sahaba? How did they not see the Prophet? Why did they not see the Prophet? They were living far?
They had never the chance to meet the Prophet.
Then they're not Sahaba.
Like Uwais al-Qarni.
Uwais al-Qarni is not from the Sahaba. No. You cannot call him Sahabi. Anyways, the whole thing of the Uwais al-Qarni anyways is a debatable topic, by the way. Someone brought it to my attention after I mentioned in one of the classes that the actual narration tradition in reference to it in Umar and Prophet ﷺ telling Umar, all this is, by the way, doubtful, which requires authentication. But that's besides the point. No, Habibi, because according to that definition, Ibn Maktoum is not a Sahabi. The Muezzin of the Messenger of Allah was blind. That's what the ulama is saying, not seeing. Because there may have been a reason why you couldn't see. Meeting him is what matters. Whoever met the Messenger of Allah and died upon believing is a Sahabi. Anyone who met him, even once for a split second, for a split second. Once they met him, alayhi salatu wasalam, and they died as mu'mins, he is a sahabi. He gets that title and that honor. Seeing is a whole other thing. You may not. But meeting, that's definite. وَسُمِّيَ صَاحِبًا لِأَنَّهُ إِذَا اجْتَمَعَ بِالرَّسُولِ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ مُؤْمِنًا بِهِ فَقَدْ الْتَزَمَ اتِّبَاعَهُ وَهَذَا مِنْ خَصَائِصِ صُحْبَةِ الرَّسُولِ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. He was called صاحب, like a companion, because if he met with the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام and believed in him, this means he followed him. He took it upon himself to follow him. And this is from the special traits of the Messenger of Allah, of the traits of the Sahaba, of the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام. أما غير الرسول فلا يكون الشخص صاحبا له حتى يلازمه ملازمة طويلة يستحق أن يكون بها صاحبا. Why now? Because linguistically, صاحب is a very strong word that only comes about after the two people become real close friends. Huh? Because you have acquaintance and friend. And that's why in this lecture, Facebook can make you face hell. I made that point. That you know, you're saying you have friends. Female friends. Kufar friends. And the people reply with all kinds of nonsense. But they don't pay attention nor do they read between the lines. We didn't say it's impossible for you to have a kafir acquaintance. It's impossible. Rather, you need to have kufar as acquaintances. Because who's going to give him da'wah? But when you say friend, someone who you hang out with every day, you're comfortable with, you have the same views, same ideas, same inclinations, same preferences, same hobbies, same, predominantly, of course, not identical, but to a large degree. Otherwise, you can't mix. You know, you want to play basketball, he wants to play soccer. Khalas. You can't do it together. Everyone is going to be on his own. The only time you can play together is when you both like it. You see what I'm saying? So there must be some sort of agreement. And so we can say this person is this person's friend. An acquaintance, hey, you can have a million of them. You see him every day at work, but you really don't know him. So we said, friends you cannot have. Not a kafir, nor a woman. Because the friends means friends. You see what I'm saying? So now, but now we are making an exception. Why? Why are we calling him a friend or a companion, which is even closer, stronger than friend, companion, from company, someone who keeps you company, even though he may have met him only once?
But they believed and followed him.
Yes, this is a special privilege for them, because believing, seeing him, or meeting him, and believe necessitates that they will become strict followers. And so they were given that particular title. Specific for the Sahaba. Otherwise, linguistically, you cannot call someone a companion until you've spent so much time with him, you think on his behalf. Before he speaks, you say, are you going to say that? I said, okay. Jazakallah khair. ثم استدل المؤلف رحمه الله لموقف أهل السنة والجماعة بقوله. نعم, oh, we got time. Then the author, رحمه الله, cited as an evidence for the position of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the following evidence. كما وصفهم الله به في قوله تعالى, as Allah described them in His statement. والذين جاءوا من بعدهم يقولون ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. الله المستعان. Those who come after them, they say, our Lord and Master, forgive us and our brothers who preceded us in faith, and do not make in our hearts any hatred towards those who believe. O our Lord and Master, you are the most kind, most merciful. This was the statement of the believers. Part of their iman, part of their aqidah was, make dua for our brothers who preceded us in faith. Now, among all the Muslims from 1400 years until now, who deserves the most dua? The Sahaba. Who made the most effort? Don't we make it? When you mention Shaykh al-Sabi ibn Taymiyyah, you feel a special need to make, you know, dua for him, because you feel he has such a favor upon the ummah, huge favor upon the ummah, that we can't even, you know, discuss, because of what he gave of his time and his life and his knowledge and even his own body. He was doing jihad fi sabilillah with a sword. He was fighting Ahl al-Kufr wal-Bid'ah with his pen, and then the next day he's out there with the sword. And Allah gave him victory on all fronts. No one can deal with Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. Can you imagine meeting someone like that? And this is who? 700 years after. What about the Sahaba Umar ibn al-Khattab? Ooh. Imagine being in the presence of Umar ibn al-Khattab. And that'd be something, you know. That'd be something just, it would blow your mind. Then what about the Messenger of Allah himself? Imagine that in front of you, this is the Messenger of Allah. The one whom Allah chose. Yeah, and it's, so these Sahaba, this was their daily life. Daily, they were hanging out with the Messenger of Allah alayhi salam. This was the messenger, and they were with him for 23 years of da'wah. Sacrifice in their life and the effort. And when Umar got his companion, when one would go to work, the other one would stay in the company. When he would come back, he will narrate to him what he learned from the Messenger of Allah. So they will have alternate days. One will go with the Messenger of Allah, and then the next day he will teach the other one. Yani, they weren't letting anything slide. So these were the Sahaba. This is yani. So did we make dua for them? It should be sincere. Seriously. هذه الآية بعد آيتين سابقتين هما قوله تعالى للفقراء المهاجرين الذين أخرجوا من ديارهم وأموالهم يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا وينصرون الله ورسوله أولئك هم الصادقون. Now this ayah which we cited earlier came after two ayat which preceded it in Surah Al-Hashr, ayah number 10, that was 10. Now ayat number 8. The fuqara, and for the fuqara, the immigrants, poor among them, which means the context is they have a share in spoils. They have the share in spoils, in the war booty. Who were driven out of their homes and their wealth. The muhajireen had to, you're living in a country, and someone, because of continuous persecution and harassment, you're forced to leave everything behind and go live in another place. Mind you, it wasn't as easy as today. Now, even if, something happened, with the difficulty still, you book a flight, and you take a taxi, and you get on an airplane, and then you hire a furniture company, a moving furniture that will move your furniture. You go pick it up on the other side. You hire some workers who will put the furniture back. You really don't do anything. All that you will feel is what? Sad. That you were forced to leave. No, when they had to leave from Mecca to Medina, how? On camels and horses and donkeys. And they had to leave things behind. A huge journey to a land which is not theirs, who are going to live with people who are not their friends. It's not like you're going back home to your parents. No, these are strangers. They're going to total strangers to them and for them. So it's a very... Yet they did this. They did this hijrah. First to Abyssinia, then they came back, and then the second time they went to Medina. So the ayah is speaking about that. They were driven out of their homes and their wealth. يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ, seeking the fadl, the virtue or the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيَنْصُرُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, and they help Allah and His Messenger, as in they help the deen of Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ, those are the truthful ones. Look at that now. Look at that now. Compare that to someone who insists on going to learn in the land of disbelief. Look what they did of sacrifice. And look at the people now. You're living in the land of Muslims. Yeah, I know, but I want to go out and I want to learn so I can improve my English and I can improve my monkey and I can... What? What kind of crazy things are you upon? And back then, what was the level of corruption in Mecca? What was the level of corruption? It wasn't as bad as today. Not as bad as the Western world. Not as bad as going to some university, in Canada or America or the UK, where the lady sitting in front of you, you can see her underwear. And this is normal. Normal tight jeans and everything. What are you going to do? What kind of classroom is that? All around you, women standing and sitting, and the teacher, the professor herself, maybe a female. What kind of education will you be acquiring, my brother? Had you been in this environment all your life, and you're used to it, it's a big fitna. Let alone if you're used to seeing hijab and hijab and niqab and hijab, and all of a sudden, all you see is nakedness. You will go out in 2 days. You won't be able to make it. So all the shabab which are get overexcited about going overseas, they need to reflect upon the sahaba and what they did. If Allah blessed you and made you live in a Muslim land, don't leave. You say education? Hello, there's something called distance learning. You can apply to any college in the world and do your thing and you know, on PDF. And the convenience of your own house. Big deal. You like to be with the teacher? Yeah, well, the teacher doesn't like to be with you. And so, sacrifice. But make the right decision. Don't let your children go out. That's my advice. My advice to anyone. If you have children, you think, oh, but here they will not learn. Yeah, akhi, let them go to Jannah. It's not about learning. How many of them go to learn and they come back as wicked as a human being can be? This is known and famous. Yes, there are exceptions to the rule. There are some who Allah Azza wa Jal protects. We don't deny that. There are some who go bad and come back guided. Also happens. But you're still risking. You're still gambling with your children. You're gambling with the Iman, with Islam. That's not something you gamble with. You can gamble with the dunya. Say, okay, business deal. I may make money. I may lose money. Fine. If you lose money, life goes on. But if you gamble with your deen and you lose Islam, what guarantees you will be given? It will be given back to you? Nothing. And very rarely do people leave Islam and return. So, you know, we have to be mindful of these things. Make the right choices. Barakallahu feekum. طيب إذن أين نحن؟ نحن ها هنا. وعلى رأس هؤلاء المهاجرين أبو بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي بن أبي طالب رضي الله عنهم أجمعين. On top of these immigrants, on the top of the pyramid, if we may call it, or that's going to give us some connotations, I know, never mind the pyramid and all that stuff, are the Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali. May Allah be pleased with all of them. فَبِقَوْلِ يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا. They seek then fadl from Allah, وَرِضْوَان and His pleasure. إِخْلَاصُ النِّيَّةِ. This indicates their sincerity. They were sincere. They're not doing it for any other thing. They're doing it just to seek Allah's pleasure, subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَفِي قَوْلِ وَيَنْصُرُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ تَحْقِيقُ الْعَمَلِ. Now look, in the ayah, Allah spoke about their niyyah and their action. Their niyyah, يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا. Their action, يَنْصُرُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. So the niyyah is sound and the action is being fulfilled. It's not niyyah without action, nor is it action without niyyah. No, they brought the relation between both, which is what a siddiq is. This is what a siddiq, someone who believes wholeheartedly in the truth and he acts upon that. Because we may know and not act. Or we may act without knowing, like the bid'ah, the people of bid'ah. They do many ibadat without knowledge. It's not based on any authentic tradition. وَأُولَٰئِكَ وَقَوْلُهُ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ أَيْ لَمْ يَفْعَلُوا ذَلِكَ رِيَاءً وَلَا سُمْعَ وَلَكِنْ عَنْ صِدْقِ نِيَّةٍ. So the statement of Allah, it is those who are truthful, meaning they did not do this out of, what was that word? No, yeah, I used to say that too. Then I came across another word which was lovely. Ostentatious. Malish, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to sound all, wallah, I'm not. But it's actually a very, you see, whenever you read material in English, you come across words, you become curious about, you know, why this word is used. So I have, you know, all these phones always have this dictionary, very detailed dictionary. I go look them up. So I looked up this word in the dictionary. It's amazing, yani the agreement with the Arabic term riya. It is better than showing off. Showing off, it depicts part of the meaning, but not the complete one. Ostentatious is very much accurate. I forgot the spelling, but you can Google it and you'll find it right away. Read the definition. It's an excellent word. Now you say, but the people don't understand. We say, okay, if you're addressing the people and you mention the word, mention the meaning, so you teach them the word. But if you're addressing a bunch of people whose English is weak, okay, they barely speak English, you don't go say, so this is ostentatious, brother. It's like, oh, okay. What is this guy talking about, man? I said, well, you sound like you know everything, but you didn't deliver the message. That's why when you address different people, you have to simplify your language. So the audience, that's why you have to modify your language according to the audience. If they have the reception, if they're receptive to learning words and they're into that thing, that's fine. If not, you avoid words which may complicate the message. That's why you don't use the term holy and all this when speaking to Christians. You don't say holy Quran, holy prophet, because to them, they may get something totally different than what you mean. You may be teaching them shirk while giving them a lecture about tawheed. Because to them, holy is divine. And so you say, holy prophet, they say, oh, so we have the Trinity and you have two. We have three, you have two. It's still multiple gods. It's still multiple gods. Big, big deal. Some people don't realize that it's a big deal. So you avoid these terms. So then ostentatious, there's another derivative of the word. عَلَى كُلِّ حَالٍ وَلَا سُمْعَى. سُمْعَى is reputation. That's a simple word. وَلَكِنْ عَنْ صِدْقِنِي, rather they did this out of the truthfulness of their intentions. Truthfulness of their intention. We have time. ثُمَّ قَالَ فِي الْأَنصَارِ. Now first Allah was speaking about the who? About who? المهاجرين. للفقراء المهاجرين. Now الأنصار والذين تبوأوا الدار والإيمان من قبلهم يحبون من هاجر إليهم ولا يجدون في صدورهم حاجة مما أوتوا ويؤثرون على أنفسهم ولو كان بهم خصاصة. Now and those who had the home, who inhabited the home, meaning in Medina, those who lived in Medina and had accepted the faith, the iman, tabawwa'u al-iman also, min qablihim, be prior to that. Yuhibbuna man hajara ilayhim, they love those who migrate to them. Yani this one, when you have a guest coming, and even though you don't know this guest, but he's a Muslim brother, you love him ala tul. No other reason for love at this point. وَلَا يَجِدُونَ فِي صُدُورِهِمْ حَاجَةً مِمَّا أُوتُوا. They don't find within themselves any discomfort concerning that which they were given. وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَى أَنفُسِهِمْ. Who remembers the word? يُؤْثِرُونَ, إِثَار. Abdul Majid. The English word, Abdul Majid.
Altruism.
We know the definition. Altruism. So, they then yuthirun. They are altruistic. That's another one. Add this to the vocabulary. They are altruistic in this sense against their own selves. وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَصًا. Even if they themselves were needy. يعني even if they were in a state of need, they would favor their brothers over themselves. This is something which now is almost non-existent. إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ اللَّهِ. إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ اللَّهِ وَقَلِيلٌ مَهُمْ. They're a minority who can be that benevolent, that giving, that, you know, we, I'm speaking about myself, we are programmed nowadays because of the materialism the other way around, the opposite way, you know? It's like, you feel, I need this more than you, so come on man, give me a break, you see what I'm saying? But it's supposed to be the other way around. Even if you need, you know, you're supposed to give. But Allah al-musta'an, nasa'u Allah ya'afu anna. فَوَصَفَهُمُ اللَّهُ بِأَوْصَافٍ ثَلَاثَ. Allah Azza wa Jal, ثَلَاثَ. Allah described them with three distinct qualities. يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ. They love those who migrate to them. وَلَا يَجِدُونَ فِي صُدُورِهِمْ حَاجَةً مِمَّا أُوتُوا. They don't find within themselves any discomfort of that which they were given. وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَى أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَصَةً. They favor others over themselves, even if they were sacrificed, even if they were in need themselves. ثُمَّ قَالَ تَعَالَى. Then Allah said, بعد ذلك والذين جاءوا من بعدهم يقولون ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان. Then those who come after, they say, oh Allah, forgive us and those who came before us and preceded us in faith. Those who will come after the muhajirin and the ansar. وهم التابعون لهم بإحسان. Which are those who follow them. إحسان is what? In goodness or in excellence. Those who follow them in their excellence. وَتَابِعُوهُمْ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. And then those who follow all of them until the day of recompense or the day of resurrection. All, everyone. فَقَدْ أَثْنَوْا عَلَيْهِمْ بِالْأُخُوَّةِ. They praise them by declaring their brotherhood. وَبِأَنَّهُمْ سَبَقُوهُمْ بِالْإِيمَانِ. And they mentioned that they preceded them in faith. You know, someone who's been a believer longer than you is like, you know, he's an old school. He has his status, he's a senior citizen in this thing. Mukhadram, we call him Mukhadram, right? What's that? Veteran, like a veteran. وَسَأَلُوا اللَّهَ أَلَّا يَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ غِلًّا لَهُمْ. Then they begged Allah that He should not place in their hearts any kind of hatred towards them. فَكُلُّ مَنْ خَالَفَ فِي ذَلِكَ وَقَدَحَ فِيهِمْ وَلَمْ يَعْرِفْ لَهُمْ حَقَّهُمْ فَلَيْسَ مِنْ هَؤُلَاءِ الَّذِينَ قَالَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانَنَا. So anyone who opposes that and belittles them and does not recognize their right, the right which they have over us, then he is not of those whom Allah said, and those who came after them, they say, "Oh Allah, forgive our brothers who preceded us in faith." He's not one of them. So the Shia are disqualified from this particular ayah. And it only applies to Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. وَلَمَّا سُئِلَتْ عَائِشَةُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا عَنْ قَوْمٍ يَسُبُّونَ الصَّحَابَةِ. And we said عَائِشَةُ because it is نَائِب فَاعِل. When she was asked about those who cursed the Sahaba, قَالَتْ لَا تَعْجَبُونَ. She said, don't be amazed. Don't be amazed. هَؤُلَاءِ قَوْمٌ انْقَطَعَتْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ بِمَوْتِهِمْ فَأَحَبَّ اللَّهُ أَنْ يُجْرِيَ أَجْرَهُمْ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهِمْ. الله أكبر. She said, these are people whose deeds ended upon their death, but Allah wanted to extend their reward after their death. So he decreed that some wicked creatures will come and continue to curse them, because the more they curse them, the more ajr they will get. So Allah wanted to give them this fadl. Their fadl didn't end there, no. And this is the fiqh of Aisha radhiallahu anha. It wanted to continue so the Shia exists today, so that they can get more reward. And they think that they're doing something that will get them closer to Allah, and they're going to go straight to Jahannam. Unless they repent to Allah Azza wa Jal from this crime that they are upon. وَتَبَّنْ لَهُمْ سَائِرُ الْعَامُ وَسَائِرُ الْدَهْرُ وَقَوْلِهِ وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Do not place in our hearts any anger, any hatred, عفواً, to those who believed. وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لِلَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَ بِالْإِيمَانِ. And they did not say, "Oh Allah, do not make in our hearts any hatred for those who preceded us in faith." Rather, to those who believed in general. لِيَشْمَلْ هَؤُلَاءِ السَّابِقِينَ وَغَيْرِهِمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. So that may include those and anyone who follows them until يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. So that dua, for all the believers, you shouldn't want to have any hatred. Of course, you don't want it to be there. But is it going to happen? Yes. There's no escape. No escape from having hatred towards a Muslim today because of a sin and fisq and bid'ah. This is known. Had everyone been righteous and you being envious or being jealous or whatever, we say this is a problem in you and you should. But today, because of the spread of corruption, you part of, and we took this a few lessons ago. We said we love the goodness which they have and we hate them for the evil. We love them for the good. We hate them for the evil. And this is what we're supposed to do. So Allah al-musta'an. But that doesn't mean we don't strive. We don't like it. We don't like it. But the iman, as in the lecture, as Shaykh al-Sabi Tabi mentioned, and Ibn Abbas before that, loving the true iman is loving what Allah loves and hating what Allah hates. Loving for the sake of Allah, hating for the sake of Allah. You love whom Allah loves, you hate those whom Allah Azza wa Jal hates. This is true iman. Not favoritism. Not liking someone so you love them even though they deserve hatred. You see what I'm saying? And not hating someone whom Allah Azza wa Jal loves because of the qualities which they have, out of envy. As it is some people with the ulama. Some people hate Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah ta'ala. They hate them with the passion. Specifically Syrians. He was in Syria. He was in Syria, Jordan, different places. In Saudi at some point. He was in Medina University, responsible of the hadith, na'am, in the Kuliyat al-Hadith in Jama'ah. But in Syria, those who are blind followers of the Shafi'i madhab and the Hanafi madhab, and those among the Asha'ira and the Mu'tazila, they hate them with the passion. Why? Because he contradicted everything they were upon. He contradicted and he had a huge following. Many people were, going with the opinions. So they hate him for no valid reason. This is dhulm. They hate him because Allah gave him knowledge. He was able to analyze narrations, verify narrations, authentic narrations, which they couldn't do. They couldn't do. So when he would come and declare the hadith is weak, no one can say a thing. They can say and say, but when they try to deal with him in that field, no one could defeat the sheikh. And when he went into the issue of Taraweeh, and the 20 rak'at and the 8 rak'at, and he authored the book about Salat al-Taraweeh, then he analyzed all of the traditions which claim to be 20 and proved that none of them is authentic, not even one from the time of the Sahaba. No alim on earth can come and deal with that. They may deal with other reasons. They still had the valid points. But in the science of hadith, no one can compete with him. He was on his own, rahimahullah. So he's hated unrightfully. And so, we don't have that stance neither. على كل حال ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. Our Lord, you are most kind, most merciful. ولرأفتك ورحمتك نسألك المغفرة لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان. Because of your kindness and your mercy, we ask you that you shall forgive us and you forgive our brothers who preceded us in faith. And with this, inshallah, we conclude. بإذن الله, next week we'll be dealing with the hadith of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام about him telling us not to curse and not to speak ill about the Sahaba and everything pertaining to that. Barakallahu feekum.